Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramonte Bryant. This is the Insight segment. I'm in for Harold Fisher. Well, the contributions of Hispanic and Latino Americans is numerous, but the issues important to their communities sometimes and often go unrecognized. Tonight, as we celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month, we take a closer look at issues and concerns and the history of the diverse Hispanic and Latino communities here locally in the broader sense across the U.S. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'd like to hear from you. What are your thoughts on Hispanic Heritage Month? In terms also of the issues surrounding the Hispanic and Latino community, whether it's here in the Washington metropolitan area, nationwide, or either globally, how it all ties together, we'd like to hear your questions or your comments. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Joining us tonight is Manuel Mendez. He is the chair of the D.C. Afro-Latino Caucus, and Roland Roebuck. He is an activist. Again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. And I should add that Mr. Roebuck is an activist, really zeroing in on Hispanic and Latino issues here in our community, specifically Afro-Latino issues. All right. We begin with Mr. Roebuck.
Yes.
Talk to me about a little bit about Hispanic Heritage Month. I kind of set it up saying I don't know if we recognize the issues that are pertinent, important to the Hispanic and Latino community. Would you agree with that? And if so, why or why not?
Well, for us, members of the Afro-Latino community, Hispanic Heritage Month is considered Hispanic Afro-Latino Exclusion Month, meaning that many of the contributions that Afro-Latinos have made throughout the history in the United States is many times negated. We also have to understand that within the Hispanic community, there is a layer of racism that is seldom manifested publicly. But we can see traces of that in the area of media. We are accepted in three areas, meaning sports, singing, and dancing. But beyond that, the presence of Afro-Latinos, especially in Latino media, is extremely, extremely limited. So we have an obligation to investigate the reasons why, to the present, racism continues to be a serious issue within the Hispanic community, but it is seldom addressed.
Mr. Mendez, would you agree with Roland that the issue of Afro-Latinos is central to your concerns when we're talking out, you know, even outside of Hispanic Heritage Month, but just the everyday living dealings in the communities and within internally the communities? Would you say that that is an issue? I'm sorry, go right ahead.
That is definitely an issue that within the Latino community, the economic, racial disparities among us are not addressed. So I completely agree with Roland's statement that our absence is apparent. Our exclusion is intentional, and we need to address it as a community. Because there's a lot of anti-blackness within the Latino community.
Let me address this too quickly, and you all please correct me if I'm off base here, because I think this is important, and it really is something that was just brought to my attention. I've got to admit, just within this month, that often we use Hispanic and Latino interchangeably. I think I'm saying that right, interchangeably.
Yeah.
And but there really is a difference. When we're talking about Hispanics, we usually are talking about a group of people who may have descendants or be from or connected to Spanish-speaking countries, where Latino is referencing geography, folks are who are from Latin American countries. Would that be correct?
I would say yes. You are correct in your assessment. When we mention Hispanic, most of the images that we have is of white Hispanics. If you conduct a survey throughout Central and South America, you are not going to find people identifying themselves as Hispanic. They are going to identify themselves geographically. Meaning, if you ask the question, what are you? I am Colombian, I am Panamanian, etc. Now, if that person happens to be Afro-descendant, then you may have a combination of terms. That person may identify themselves, if they have some level of consciousness, they will identify themselves as Afro-Puerto Rican, Afro-Dominican, Afro-Colombian, Afro-Panamanian, etc. So the congressional leaders crafted this term, Hispanic, to try to capture all of the members of the Spanish-speaking family. But individuals seldom identify themselves as Hispanic. And that's the reason why we have problems with the census, especially in certain questions related to race, because people will have a preference to identify themselves geographically. So when you use the term Hispanic, for us is white Hispanics. Latino has more of a coloration, and people will tend to use that term, and that's why we call ourselves Afro-Latino, okay?
Manuel, is this issue that we're talking about, especially the issue of color, the issue of race within the Hispanic slash Latino community? So can I reference it in that manner? Would that be correct? Mm-hmm. It sounds really so similar to what African-Americans deal with historically in the U.S. So are we talking about the same kind of thing, or is it different?
We are talking about the same similar things, but in a different language. Our colonizer were Spanish, and so African Americans colonizers were English. And so, yes, we are speaking about the same issues of discrimination, of racism, of systemic racism, of not acknowledging, not bringing forth representation when we are being spoken about Latinos. Latinos is supposed to represent all of the folks in Latin America, regardless of race. But the problem lies at where we only see white European faces in media when research is conducted. When you see folks in different institutions, they're majority white Latinos, white Hispanics.
Yeah, I would like to add to that, and that is that the issue of race is more flexible in Central and South America. Racism in the U.S. is very precise, either black or white. In Central and South America and certain areas of the Caribbean, you have certain flexibility that influence how you are going to define yourself. For example, in the Dominican Republic, you could be black, but based on the strong level of oppression that has existed throughout the history and the school system denying the positive contributions of Afro-Dominicans, many people will tend to gravitate towards another ethnic definition, meaning Indian. So I have this joke that says that there are more Indians today than when Columbus arrived. And I know that my brother Manuel will concur with my assessment because he's from the Dominican Republic and he can attest to what I am saying. When you are defining race in Central and South America and the Caribbean, there are other elements that come into play. The type of hair, the shape of your nose, the thickness of your lips, who you married to, etc. So there is some level of flexibility in applying ethnic definitions. So when this mass of people come to the United States, many of them are very confused because of the strict definition that has been imposed by United States standards. Because here you're either black or white. And those individuals that enjoyed certain level of, let's call it privilege in South America by claiming to be Eurocentric, when they get here or when they land here and they are placed with the rest of the black, Asian, and other groups, it causes internal trauma.
All right.
To these individuals.
I want to get back to that and continue that part of the conversation, but I want to make sure we get a call in before we got to take a quick break. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lorraine calling from the district. Go right ahead with your question or comment.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. This is a prime example of why in the United States you cannot be a fence rider politically, until whether it's Latino, African, Latinos, Hispanics, or African Americans, until we dig our heels in and stay planted in who we are and acknowledge and appreciate the history of who we are, we will continue to perpetuate the stereotypical view of what white America thinks that we should see ourselves as a minority. When Obama was running for office, the Latin community separated, a large portion of them segregated and separated themselves from uniting with African Americans to vote for Obama at the time.
Lorraine, are you of Latin or Hispanic heritage, or are you African American?
Now, here's the interesting piece. I'm mixed.
Okay, we're going to run out of time, so I just want to be clear. You're mixed in what way?
I am Mexican, Hispanic, and African American.
Okay, I want to let Manuel and Roland kind of get to your point, just because we'll run out of time. So Manuel, it's interesting what Lorraine has said, and you know, no community is a monolith.
That's
so
right.
You know, when she says, "Well, you know, until we kind of you know band together," and I know I'm paraphrasing her. But that's difficult because you have different interests even within groups. So,
That's right. You
know, tell me what you think about what Lorraine is saying here. Is there some truism in what she's presenting, or is that sort of a hard bow to kind of tie together?
Yeah, that's kind of hard because our community is definitely monolithic. You have to look at religion, class, education place. A lot into what we believe in politically and how we stand. So you wouldn't a Cuban in Miami will vote differently than someone in New York, a Dominican in New York.
And we saw that in the latest election. And that's such a great point, Manuel, that you brought up. Hold that thought because I want to pick up on that. You know, the political side of things because that's how really change comes with coalitions and building those kinds of groups to sort of move some changes, maybe even if we're talking about what's going on with the census. So we're going to take a break, but don't forget you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. If you're on the phone line, stay there. If not, give us a call. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on WHUR. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Tonight, we are focusing on Hispanic Heritage Month. We are talking about issues that pertain to the Hispanic and Latino communities. If I am wrong, I believe Hispanic Heritage Month actually ends today. It started September 15th. And runs through October 15th, and I'll have my guest correct me if I'm wrong. Is that right, Manuel and Roland?
Yes. Today is the last day.
Right. So we're wrapping it up. So we really want to focus on these communities and specifically drill into Afro-Latino communities and their role within the larger swath of the Hispanic and Latino communities and issues that pertain to that specific community, the Afro-Latino community that they're dealing with here locally and even nationally. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lorraine, thank you so much for your call.
Let me challenge what Lorraine has just said, because
this is Roland, correct?
Yeah. This is Roland Roebuck.
I just want to make sure the audience knows who's talking. Okay.
I appreciate her humanistic expression in terms of holding hands and not singing Cumbaya, but singing salsa to try to bring some level of social cohesion in this nation. The timing is wrong, primarily because of the high level of racial polarization that exists right now, that is propagated by presidents, politicians, etc. It confuses me to have a mass of people, primarily in Texas, voting Republican when the president of the United States has taken a very racist position to debase, to humiliate, and cause despair towards this particular group. But the issue is that many of these individuals with Eurocentric tendencies applaud the statements by Trump because they feel superior to their darker Mexicans across the border.
Mm.
So we have hypocrisy, we have a lot of confusion, we have a lot of internal oppression by these individuals that manifest racism and perpetuate racism across the United States.
Manuel, do you agree with that, which is this, and I've heard this, that Latinos or Hispanics who have more, and this is a subjective, you know, way of describing it, sort of more European features, right? Maybe sort of their hair is blonde, you know, their noses are more narrow, just more traditional European features where maybe you would not know that they're Hispanic other or Latino other than their name being Martinez or Lopez, that they politically look at issues different within their communities, or am I making this too simplistic?
You're not making it simplistic. It is exactly that. They only want to benefit their own white Latino population, and it's easy to look. If you look at any institutions ran by Latinos, nonprofits locally or nationally, and just look at their boards and see the folks that are in their boards, you will see that it's majority all Latino or all white Latinos, mm-hmm. or a little sprinkle here and there.
You mentioned earlier, you brought up the topic. Well, first of all, let me give out the number again. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. What are your issues, what are your concerns, rather, for the Latino Hispanic community, whether it's here in the Washington metropolitan area, nationally or globally? What should be talked about? What are the things that are going on? Maybe the contributions that are not being recognized, the issues that need to be brought to the fore, what you've experienced. We want to hear from you. 202-319-7810. And this obviously is not a program just for Latino and Hispanic citizens, so we'd like to have everybody comment. But, Manuel, I want to go back to you in this question of politics. What will turn the worm in terms of the communities and those that Roland said would support, say, a President Trump, where it would seem like those who would vote for him, if you're from the Latino or Hispanic community, which I think he dumps all into one group, you are really kind of voting against your own interest, which is not unique. I mean, that happens with all Americans. So why is it that you would vote for someone who has called those of Latino and Hispanic heritage rapists, thugs, murderers, criminals?
It's where I was going in terms of, you know, class, what part of Latin America you came from, what privilege you have, whether you are a white Latino or whether you're indigenous or black Latinos, and what positions of power you hold here in the United States. And also in terms of those Latinos who are conservative, the conservative party really galvanized the evangelical black Latino community. And so a lot of them voted and are continue to support conservative politics. I mean, mainly Miami, Miami, Texas, parts of the West Coast, and it's mainly on whether you're white Latino and whether you have privilege and or religion.
Let me ask you this, Roland. How has this issue of immigration impacted the conversation around Hispanic and Latino communities? Because what we saw recently were folks coming from, originally they were from Haiti, trying to cross the border. But traditionally, we're talking about people coming from Latin American countries, coming from Mexico, but these folks were coming from Haiti. In a sense, is it anyone who is trying to cross the border who does not have a white European look, do you believe they all will be dumped into the category, oh, these people are coming from Latin American countries or Spanish-speaking countries? Has immigration kind of made just a broad brush of anyone who's trying to come across that border, it's going to be labeled a Hispanic-Latino issue, and therefore it does what for the community? Whether you're Afro-Latino or look at yourself as a European Latino-Hispanic.
Yep. We are suffering from what I call historical amnesia, because we are not focusing on how this nation evolved. This nation evolved with the presence of immigrants from different parts of the world. Now, initially it was European, and back in the 50s, then we began to add some coloration to the immigrants that were coming to the United States. Now, taking that analysis under Trump and the negative perception that he created with respect to immigrants and those nations that have brown people, that also created a toxic relationship between people in America and their view towards immigrants. We're not taking into consideration how the United States and their economic policies destabilize the economies of these third world nations, forcing people to migrate to the United States. So the United States has many times exploited the natural resources of these countries, have come up with certain tariffs and policies that affect and impact upon the economic stability of those nations, thus forcing these people to migrate towards the United States. Now, if the Haitians would have been as blonde and blue-eyed as the Danes, the attitude of America would be much different. The darkness of the Haitians is the element that creates this hateful attitude towards them, because we are living in a very toxic, racist society.
Manuel Mendez, we have talked about earlier in this show the specific issues that Afro-Latinos are dealing with within the Latino and Hispanic communities. How do you raise those issues within the community, and is there open dialogue about what Afro-Latinos are dealing with other than the other Latino and Hispanic members of the community? Is there open dialogue about that, or is there resistance to talk about those specific issues that pertain to the Afro-Latino community?
Well, from my experiences, it has been a resistance to our issues of anti-blackness and acceptance of our community and our contribution within the Latino community. It's been a resistance in research, it's been a resistance in academia, it's been a resistance in institutions that say they are for the general Latino population, but don't want to account for their anti-blackness and structural racism within the Latino community. And let me also say that in terms of Haiti, there's also been some amnesia at the fact of the effects of different administrations, like the Clintons, which devastated the country with their IMF and World Bank policies, taking out Aristide. And the list goes on and on about the involvement of how U.S. have placed their hand on Haitians. And what we're seeing at the border is just the consequence of a lot of administration mishaps.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is the last day of Hispanic Heritage Month. We are focusing our conversation on the Latin and Hispanic communities. Obviously, it's the last day of celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month, but it does not have to be the last day to celebrate Latino and Hispanic heritage. You know, as the saying goes, it's just one month out of the year, whether it's, you know, African American History Month. All of these, every day, every month of the year, are issues that we should be talking about it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810.
Let me add that based on Manuel's leadership, Afro-Latinos have also celebrated Black History Month. So we have sort of a double benefit program in which we attempt to celebrate also our Africanness. And many times our relationship with Africa gets lost because many of us that are conscious of our historical connection gravitate towards understanding Africa, its culture, its spirituality, etc. Now, in reference to the earlier point, I have asked members of the Hispanic caucus, I was trying to conduct a survey as to how many Afro-Latinos they had employed in their offices, and these offices refused to answer my question, claiming that, oh, that is a personnel issue, and we don't discuss those matters.
And you're talking about U.S. congressional offices, correct,
Talking about the U.S. Congress, the Hispanic caucus, that's supposed to represent the interests of all Latinos, but tend to exclude Afro-Latinos from employment. We also need to look at the national organizations. If you for next year,
Roland, I want you to
WHUR that they should invite.
Hold on, Roland. I want you to hold that. I want you to pick up on that thought. We just got to take a quick break. Once that music starts playing, it's break time. So don't lose your thought. We are talking to Manuel Mendez. He's the chair of the DC Afro-Latino Caucus, and Roland Roebuck, who is an activist and central to Afro-Latino issues. 202-319-7810. The phone lines are still open. This is the Insight segment. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM on your analog dial. I'm Bramante Bryant, and for Harold Fisher, this is the Insight segment. Tonight, we are talking about issues pertinent to the Hispanic and Latino communities. Our guests tonight, Manuel Mendez and Roland Roebuck. Roland, you were trying to make a point right before we went to break. Why don't you go ahead and finish that?
Yeah, the point is, the suggestion is that next year, during Hispanic Heritage Month, WHUR should invite the presidents of these national organizations to come and express to you how they are addressing the issue of race within their organization. Because we are demanding accountability from white Hispanics that have become promoters of racism but are frequently invisible. So that is one of my suggestions, in order for you to hear from them how difficult is going to be that dialogue to say publicly that these national organizations have a racist streak in their administration, reflected in employment policies, recognition, funding, etc. The other piece that I forgot to mention is, even in marriage, the issue of race becomes extremely critical in the selection of your partner. And the reason why we have at times low numbers with respect to the census is that many of these confused Hispanics, instead of identifying themselves correctly, they gravitate towards the white little box, and that distorts the national demographics of this nation.
Manuel, you and Roland are based in D.C., correct?
Right.
So talk to me in our last few moments about issues particular to the district with the Latino and Hispanic community. What's happening? What's being focused on? What needs to be focused on? What's not being focused on? What are the issues there that we should know about that maybe aren't highlighted?
Well, we assess the pandemic. We have, you know, race, just as the African Americans, racial health disparities, income inequalities, access to housing, evictions that's coming up at the end of October. Immigration statuses, like black immigrants in our community, some of them are undocumented.
Mm-hmm.
Unemployment, in terms of we are a community who are at the front lines of service companies, whether that is in hotels, whether that is in restaurants. We are the main ones that are working night. And also just the fact that since the pandemic, we black and brown communities have been the majority affected by COVID.
Roland, I know that Mayor Bowser has an office of Latino slash Hispanic affairs, if that's the correct title, but at least that focuses on the Latino and Hispanic community. Is that office involved in issues that you think they should be? Are they serving a purpose? Should more, less, not enough, too much? What's your assessment of what's being done through sort of the mayor's office and her initiatives?
Okay, back in 1979, I was the first Afro-Puerto Rican to be employed in the office of the mayor on Latino affairs. And this office was created by Marion Barry, who felt the pressure from the community to create this office in order to discharge services to a rapidly emerging community. Fortunately, and this happened within the last couple of days, we are going to celebrate the first, I say it again, the first Afro-Latino that is going to be the director of the Office of Latino Affairs. So from 1979-78 to the present, we have not had one Afro-Latino in that office. So we, the members of the Afro-Latino Caucus, are going to have a series of meetings with this director, Eduardo Perdomo, in order to create a high level of sensitivity so he can understand the responsibility that he has to also impact upon the Afro-Latino community. The Latino leadership has been irresponsible in addressing issues of racial discord within our community, and many times this leadership is afraid of Manuel Mendez and Roland Roebuck because we accuse them publicly of racist manifestation in our community. So the school system could play a role. Our leadership needs to be accountable, and we need to expose the level of racism that is being manifested. And we appreciate the role that WHUR Radio is playing in sharing to the general public this cancer that is consuming our soul.
Manuel and Roland, we just have a few moments left. I want to ask this question, Manuel. Is Hispanic Heritage Month needed? You know, that question comes up often about any month, you know, Italian American Month or African American History Month. You know, folks will say, do we still really need those months? You know, we're all Americans, and so why do we have to have those months separated out? Is Hispanic Heritage Month still needed?
I'm one of those that will take the position that, you know, we do need certain things to be celebrated. Certain specific ethnic groups need to be celebrated of their contributions to the United States, of the history of acknowledging and recognizing their impact in our community. I'm one of those that believe in that. I don't think we should just be all, you know, think of like, oh, we Americans and so. No, I think we should celebrate our ethnicities, what makes us, and culture, food, customs. I think we should be able to celebrate ethnicities.
How about you, Roland, in our last, but we have about a minute.
I call this Afro-Latino Exclusion Month.
Mm-hmm.
Because we seldom have an opportunity of seeing our images being highlighted, portrayed, etc. But if we are going to celebrate this month, we need to be very open, transparent, and sincere and address issues that are tearing apart our community. And the main issue right now is the issue of racism. And I keep emphasizing that because I want people, want the audience to understand that within our community, that is an element that has polarized us to the point that we cannot even elect a Latino to the council, although our numbers are high, but our level of dysfunctionality is also very, very high. So we need to be very open and sincere and address issues that are dividing us so we can at least have a common ground so we can advance jointly.
Well, thank you both for a very, very interesting, informative conversation. Learned a lot. Hopefully all of our listeners did. We thank you all also for the work that you are doing in the community. Manuel Mendez, he's the chair of the D.C. Afro-Latino Caucus. Roland Roebuck is an activist and specifically sort of zeroed in on issues of Afro-Latino communities. But both are doing the work that needs to be done in our communities here in the Washington metropolitan area. Thank you both so much for being with us tonight.
Okay, and thank you for the sharp questions that you presented.
Oh, thank you very much. That's the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Friday, October 15th. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night and a better weekend.